And it shall be when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. The text, as I said, is verses 11 through 18 of Ruth chapter 3. We won't reread that portion this morning. Loved of God, last time in our series on the book of Ruth, we saw Ruth propose to Boaz that Boaz proposed to her. Naomi, knowing that she was getting older and that Ruth would need protection, especially after she was gone, sought security, rest for Ruth in a godly marriage for her daughter-in-law. Boaz had shown kindness to Ruth and to Naomi. It was very evident from all that had occurred that he was a very godly man. He would provide physical, emotional, and especially spiritual security for Ruth. In addition, Boaz was a near kinsman, one able to carry out the Old Testament law of the kinsman redeemer to grant life once again to the generations of Naomi's family amongst the people of God in the church. There was a nearer kinsman, someone who was more closely related to Naomi and Ruth, and Naomi knew that, but this man had done nothing to express interest in redeeming Ruth and Naomi. And evidently, therefore, he was not submissive to the law of God. The word was not upon him. And therefore, he was not an ideal, godly man to provide security for Ruth. It must be Boaz, Naomi said. But Naomi knew she had to act quickly. Harvest season was soon over, and Boaz was not going to naturally see Ruth anymore. So Naomi formulates a plan to bring the issue to the foreground. Ruth carries out that plan. Ruth comes by night to Boaz so that no one would be shamed if the plan does not turn out as Naomi wants. Ruth asked Boaz to play the part of a kinsman redeemer for her and for Naomi and their family. Ruth does that because she also understood that Boaz was a godly man, a man able to give her spiritual security, godly leader of her home, able to raise up a godly seed in the line of generations after her. So Ruth bypassed other men for the sake of this godly man in Israel who would do right spiritually by the generations of her family. That was her main concern. In the rest of the book of Ruth now, this Boaz shows himself to be exactly the godly man that Ruth and Naomi knew he was. In our text this morning, we see Boaz's godliness in his character and the promise that he gives to Ruth. In chapter 4, we see his godliness in the action that flows forth from his character. Boaz is a godly, godly man, a man, young men of the congregation, who must be held up before us as an example of godliness as we seek marriage, as we seek to live our lives before the face of God in society, in our homes, and in the church. A man, young women, you must look for in marriage for the sake of your own security and for the sake of the spiritual welfare of your generations that come after you. Nonetheless, remember that last time we noticed that as this relationship of Boaz and Ruth is unfolding, we are pointed to a higher reality, a higher relationship, the marriage of Christ and His church. As Ruth, we said last time, seeks security in Boaz, so too the church, the bride of Christ, seeks security ultimately in Jesus Christ. And as in our text this morning, Boaz promises to provide that security for Ruth, we are to see Christ, who promises His church true and full spiritual security. So we have this morning two main points coming together, just like last time. There is instruction for a God-glorifying, spiritually secure marriage. And then there is instruction regarding the ultimate marriage of Christ and His church. Last time, the focus was upon Ruth as the picture of the church in those two points. This time, the focus is upon Boaz as the picture of Christ in those two points. So let's take up the rest of Ruth chapter 3 under the theme, Boaz is willing. Let's notice first the promise that he gives, second, the reason why he makes this promise, and then third, the commitment of Boaz to accomplish what he promises. Boaz is willing. The promise, the reason, the commitment. The great question that stands at the head of Ruth 3, verses 11 through 18, is Boaz willing? Ruth has been bold. She has taken a risk. She's made herself vulnerable to a certain extent in this situation. How is Boaz going to respond to her? Is he willing to marry her? Is he willing to fulfill the role of a kinsman redeemer for her? And the answer that Boaz gives to Ruth is yes. Yes, I am willing. Verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Do not be afraid, Ruth. You have come from another land. You have been fairly alone. You wonder about your future. You need security physically, emotionally, spiritually. Do not fear any longer. Do not be anxious. Do not wonder. I will do all that thou requirest. That is, everything you have requested of me, I will do. Ruth's request, remember, was that Boaz asked her to marry him on the basis of this. Ruth said, you are a near kinsman. Boaz has thought of this before. This has gone through his mind. And now, Though he is woken up in the middle of the night, his answer is, I will do part of a kinsman redeemer for you. That's Boaz's promise to Ruth. That means that Boaz is willing to sacrifice himself greatly. He's willing to spend his own money to buy back the land of somebody else, Elimelech and Naomi and Ruth, so that their generations might have a place in Israel once again. He is willing to marry Ruth and to rear up a godly seed, the first of which will be the seed not of himself, but will legally be the seed of Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon, the husband of this woman, the first husband of this woman he is seeking to marry. This is a sacrificial yes, a sacrificial willingness. Boaz is willing to work that the generations of this family might continue in the house of Judah. Yes, I am willing to sacrifice myself to redeem you. Boaz informs Ruth that there is an obstacle that must be overcome. Yes, I am a near kinsman, but I am not the nearest kinsman, Ruth. There is a man in Judah who is nearer than I in relationship to you, and he has the God-given right to fulfill the role of a kinsman redeemer before me. I cannot simply take the role upon myself until I know first that he is willing to pass it by, Ruth. Naomi had reservations about this nearer kinsman, which is why she went to Boaz and not to this man in the first place. But Boaz says, the law of God requires that he, the closer relative, have the option first of redeeming the land and of marrying you, Ruth, and I will not step in front of him until I know what he desires to do. The fact that that nearer kinsman has had nothing to do with Ruth or Naomi, though he understands his obligation from God, is a good sign that the responsibility will end up falling to Boaz. Nonetheless, Boaz will do what is right according to the word of God. But Boaz, a man who knows to provide security for the woman, says in verse 13, don't worry, Ruth, you don't have to go to that man and try to figure this all out. I will take care of it. I will go seek him out myself in the morning and see if he desires to fulfill this role. This is an obstacle that I will handle. I will take upon myself, Ruth. I will see to your security. I will be responsible. I will be your redeemer. And then Boaz swears an oath to Ruth. In verse 13, I will do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. A form of swearing an oath in the Bible, repeated at least 27 times in the Old Testament. As the Lord liveth, I will do this, Ruth. It means, as certainly as Jehovah, the God of the covenant, is alive, I will do what I said I would do. Go sleep now at my feet, not right next to me, but at my feet. And in the morning, I swear it to you, your security will be provided. Ruth sleeps. And when she wakes up in the early morning, before it is light out, she gets up to go back home to Naomi. Boaz gets up too and gives her something. He gives her a gift of grain. Verse 15. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Boaz tells her to hold open her veil, the veil that she had used to conceal her identity the night before as she waited for Boaz to go to sleep. He fills it with 6 measures of grain from the grain pile that was right next to him that he was guarding through the night. He brings the ends of that veil together, and there's so much grain in there that he has to himself lift it up upon her shoulders. He has to lay it upon her, the text says, hoist it up for her. It is a generous gift, and a gift that has a very specific purpose. This gift of a large amount of grain acts as visible confirmation to Ruth and to Naomi of the promise, the oath, that Boaz had just made. It is a visible sign and seal confirming his oath, his commitment. Ruth was seeking security in a godly marriage. Naomi was seeking security for Ruth in a godly marriage, and Boaz knows that too. Boaz knows Naomi is behind this as well. Ruth would not have known the custom of spreading the skirt over as a request for marriage without Naomi informing her. Boaz understands the plight of these two women and the rest, the security that they need. He understands why they came to him in the night. And as he is willing to take the responsibility for their security upon himself and tells Ruth that, he also assures them that he means what he says. Verse 17, when Ruth gets back home, she reports to Naomi that Boaz had said to her, "Take this and go not empty to thy mother-in-law." This is for your mother-in-law to see too, Ruth. It's to show her, Naomi, and to show you too, that I am taking responsibility for you. I am providing security for you. I will do it. That amount of grain would provide physical security for both of these women for a long time. Harvest is finished now, remember. There'd be no opportunities for gleaning for a little while. Boaz will make sure that they have what they need. He will take care of it. They may find rest in him. He swore an oath that he was willing, and he gives this visible gift now to confirm what he said. And they see that he means what he said when they see the gift of the grain. Naomi's response to the gift of grain confirms exactly what we are saying about it. That the grain is intended to be a visible seal of his promise. Once Naomi sees this abundance of grain, more than generous, and this time now given to them without the requirement that Ruth do any work for it, Naomi knows that Boaz sees the relationship differently now, and she says he's not going to rest Ruth until he does what he says he was going to do. His intent is genuine. What he said to you that night is real. I know he means it because I see it in the gift. Beloved of God, by the grace, the sovereign grace of Jehovah working in our hearts, the church seeks security in Jesus Christ. Like Ruth, she is alone in this world. She is vulnerable in this world. She is herself sinful and weak. She is open to abuse from the devil, from the world, and from her own sinful flesh. She is by nature under the threat of the just wrath of God upon her sins. And she turns aside all others, in order to seek the one who will do what is necessary to provide security for her. Who will it be who will take away her sin, that she no longer be under the threat of the just wrath of God? Who is it who will provide for her body and soul in the midst of this world? Who is it who will give her strength? Who is it who will give her the security of a bond of friendship and fellowship? She turns. The church turns to the only one who can provide for her what she needs. The glorious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone. In repentance and in faith, she cries out to Him, desperate and vulnerable, "Spread thy skirt about me. Take me under the shadow of thy wings." And what will the Lord say is the question this morning. What will He say to the church that seeks her security in Him and in Him alone? Is He willing to do so? Oh yes. His response to His church is the response of Boaz to Ruth, I am willing. I promise. I will do for you all that you request. I will fulfill the role of the true and full Redeemer for you, taking away your sin through my sacrifice upon the cross. In fact, I am the one who put in you to seek me, to cry out to me for redemption. I will do what it takes to provide you security in the covenant of grace. Be at peace, rest. I will do it. All throughout sacred scripture, this Lord Jesus Christ swears the oath in the form of promise that He will redeem His church. He spoke that promise of redemption first in Genesis 3 verse 15 when He swore to crush the head of the serpent on behalf of the seed of Eve. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. He spoke this promise of redemption to Israel when they were under the bondage of Egypt, that great picture of our bondage to sin. Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. He spoke this promise, this oath to Israel throughout the Old Testament by the prophets, that in spite of their vulnerability to sin's power and dominion, Jeremiah 15, verse 29, I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked. I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Hosea 13, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. When He came to this earth, He accomplished the principal part of that redemption. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. And though we are redeemed in principle, well, the Old Testament saints waited for this redemption in principle, and we have that part now. We still wait, don't we? We're still waiting for full and final redemption in His second coming. And He promises the church that He will perform that part too. Redeem us to the uttermost. Do you remember what He said when He spoke at the end of His ministry about His second coming? Luke 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I will redeem you. I promise. I will do the part of the kinsman for you. I will deal with the obstacle of sin and judgment for you. I will deal with the obstacle of the kingdom of Satan in this world, and I will grant you true security and peace in the salvation that I provide. And just like Boaz sealed His promise, sealed His oath with a visible sign, so the Lord Jesus Christ, at the first announcement of that promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, verse 15, He sealed it with the coats of animal skins. When He spoke that promise to Israel in the Old Testament, He sealed it with visible signs of the sacrifices and of the ritual of circumcision. When He came and accomplished what He promised in the principal part and swore yet to fulfill it completely when He comes again, what did He do? He gave the church a visible sign to confirm, assure them of the truth of His oath. The grain of the bread broken. In that gift, He swears to His church, I redeem you from sin in principle and fully one day. He swears to His church, I will come back and I will marry you. I promise. I will give you complete security. There are still a few obstacles to deal with yet. the kingdom of Satan has to be used for the ingathering of the church. And then it will be crushed completely. And I will take you unto myself. But I will come again. I swear it. And I show you that I mean what I say. And the visible sign and seal of my body and blood and the bread and wine of the supper of the Lord. Boaz has promised to redeem, sealed with a visible sign, reminds us of Christ's promise to redeem, sealed with a visible sign. Now, why is it that Boaz is willing to do this? Why is it that he's willing to promise and to seal his promise to be the kinsman redeemer for Ruth? The answer to that question is twofold. First, he is willing because of his own character. We've already seen Boaz's character back in chapter 2 when we were told he was a man mighty in Israel. And also when we saw his dealings, his business dealings in chapter 2, he greeted his workers, "The Lord be with you." He took his religion out into his daily life as every truly God-fearing person will. He cared for the poor in Israel, used his wealth for the church, and cared for his workers too with compassion. But his character comes out here in an even greater measure as we see him promise and pursue marriage with Ruth. And it's that character that explains, in the first place, why he is willing to sacrifice of his own self, his own money and ambitions for the sake of Ruth and this family. First of all, notice the character of Boaz in his complete submission to the law of God. It's absolutely astounding the frame of mind that Boaz is in after having been woken up in the middle of the night by a nice-smelling young woman. Boaz had been sleeping. He feels a chill on his feet because his cloak is pulled back a little bit by Ruth. He stirs, turns over, begins to pull it over his feet, realizes someone is there. Ruth reveals that it's her, a young woman that he knows and that he cares about. And that is in his debt, really. He smells the scent of perfume. A lesser man would have thought to take advantage of that situation under the cover of darkness and pursue what was unchaste and unbiblical with Ruth. Certainly Ruth helps by saying right away, "I'm not here for that, Boaz, but to ask you to be our kinsman redeemer." But Boaz's character comes out in that what could be a great temptation to evil, what is resisted by Boaz. The first words out of his mouth includes a reference to Jehovah. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, Jehovah, my daughter." God is in his thoughts even as he wakes up in the middle of the night. And therefore he resists what could pounce upon him like a lion. Young men, Boaz is our example here. What are you looking for when it comes to dating, marriage? Are you looking for what the world is looking for? Are you looking to take advantage of a woman? Are you looking to consume her upon your own lusts? Are you looking to take what God has reserved for marriage? Young women, is he seeking this from you? Then you drop him immediately. For he is no Boaz. He's no man of God. He does not honor you as a woman of God. He's not submissive the word and law of Jehovah. Young men and young women who are perhaps dating, engaged even, are you resisting until your marriage what Boaz and Ruth resisted until their marriage. God's word is that the relationship of physical intimacy is for marriage. Submit yourselves unto that law of God and do so in an age that refuses to do so. Understand what you are up against and the influence of this world. The world's motto is, if it feels right, then do it. Live in the moment. The last thing you want to do is deny yourself what you want. God's word is resist. Obey my law. Bow the knee to my will. My way is right, and following my way is a blessed way. When the perfume is wafting through the air, when the opportunity for sin can easily be grasped, resist, as Boaz resisted, with the submission of one's desires to the law of Jehovah God. Some of you, perhaps, have failed in this matter already. And you seek forgiveness in the way of genuine repentance. And you know that forgiveness is given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, who dies for the impurity of His repentant people. And may His forgiveness, that is full and free, lead you to set yourself into submission to His Word. Henceforth, going forward, Boaz's character is a character that resists sin, even when the gate is open for him to take it. Boaz shows his character of submission to God's Word too, and that he follows God's law with respect to the kinsman redeemer. Although Boaz's desire is to take Ruth and to forget about this other nearer kinsman, he resists that desire in order to obey God's law regarding the kinsman redeemer. God's law demanded that the nearer kinsman have the responsibility first. And Boaz will follow the dictates of God's law and not the dictates of his own heart. Boaz is a man who submits his feelings to the rule of the king of his life. Whereas in the world, and in way too much of what calls itself the church, the exact opposite takes place. That the rule of King Jesus is made to submit to the feelings of sinful men. That whereas Christ says marriage is for life, how often is it that when two people who name the name of Christ decide that they don't feel like it anymore, cast aside the rule of King Jesus for the law of their own desires, so that unlawful divorce is rampant in the church and remarriage against Christ's law is rampant in the church too? We do what we feel like, even the church says, not what Christ says. Boaz is a man who will keep his desires in check until the Word of God clears him to fulfill them. Here again is your example, young men. Conviction to bow to the King and His rule over your life. Here is what you look for, young women. He's not going to be sinless. Nope. But a man who honors the Word of the Lord in doctrine, who says, I don't believe whatever I want to believe, but what the Word of God says. Who honors the Word of the Lord in life. I do what God bids me do. That's a man of God. That's a man to marry. Secondly, notice the character of Boaz and his desire to protect Ruth. Boaz protects Ruth physically here. Why doesn't Boaz tell Ruth to go home right away after they have this conversation in the middle of the night? Why does he tell her to go to sleep now at his feet and not to leave until the morning? It's not because Boaz has perverted intentions for the middle of the night. It's because Boaz is concerned for her safety. This is the time of the judges, remember. There may be drunks out roaming around. Thieves, people who would take advantage of a young woman walking around in the dead of night. He only lets her go when it's just before dawn, when any drunk would be passed out, when thieves have already done their deeds. Boaz protects her physically. Boaz protects Ruth's reputation spiritually. He wants her to leave the threshing floor before anyone would recognize a woman leaving. In verse 14, when the text says that she arose before one could know another, the word "know" there is not used to refer to physical intimacy in this case. It does refer to that many times in the Bible, but this time it means before one could recognize another person. In other words, it was still dark yet, just before the light of dawn. That's to protect her, to protect her. Doesn't want to leave the appearance of evil for both their sakes. He's concerned about their name, their reputation in the church, as every godly man should be. And again, young women, here is your example. Young men, rather, here is your example as you seek marriage. You seek to protect the object of your affections. Provide security for her, physically and spiritually. You seek to protect her good name in the church. You don't leave the appearance of evil, and that doesn't mean that you sin with her and then you just try to cover it up so nobody knows. It means you behave yourself properly for the sake of her reputation too in the Church of Jesus Christ. And young women, here is what you look for. Nothing is mentioned about Boaz's looks or Boaz's strength. It's his character that is referred to time and time again. Seek a man of integrity that genuinely seeks your welfare physically, emotionally, spiritually, who will not do anything to hurt your name amongst the people of God and the church, but who honors you in your place in the kingdom. Boaz is a man of character, godly character. He's willing to be kinsman redeemer, to sacrifice his money, his own ambitions, for the sake of the security of this woman and of these generations of this other family, because he is a man of godly character in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is willing to be our true redeemer because of his spotless, God-honoring character. Boaz was still a sinner at the end of the day, as all men are. But Christ is completely and utterly spotless. He's willing. He's willing to be our Redeemer. Because he seeks not his own, but he seeks the welfare of his bride. He's willing. Because of his spotless character, he remains ever submitted to the will of his Father for him. No selfish ambition keeps him from performing God's will on behalf of the redeemed. He's willing, at astounding cost to himself, to undergo even the eternal wrath of his Father to redeem us. His character of godly submission is spotless. So Boaz is willing to redeem Ruth because of his character. But secondly, Boaz is willing to redeem Ruth because of what Boaz seeks. Boaz gives his own conscious reason for being willing to do this in verse 11. "I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for, because all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Boaz is willing to be what he needs to be for Ruth because he is seeking a virtuous woman to be bound to in the covenant of marriage. And he knows, and all the church knows, that Ruth is such a woman. That phrase he uses, "Thou art a virtuous woman," is the exact same phrase that's used to describe the woman of virtue in Proverbs 31. And if you think about it, Ruth is the Proverbs 31 woman, isn't she? She's intelligent, she's capable, she is committed, she has a servant's heart, she seeks not her own but the well-being of her family. She is godly, she's selfless, sacrifices herself, she's meek. Boaz knows that Israel, the church, recognizes this about Ruth, that she's a godly woman of virtue, and as a godly man, that's exactly what he's looking for. Young men, what are you looking for? Best looking first? A woman who has taken her cues from the world and oozes an aura of sexuality? I know attraction is a part of it, but it's not the first part, and it is absolutely not the major part. Look for a woman who has a reputation in the church for being a woman of godly virtue as Ruth, and steer clear of the woman who has a reputation for the opposite amongst the people of God. And if your parents and if the people of God in the church do not approve, that ought to hold great weight with you. For you seek a woman whom the congregation knows is a woman of godly character. Young women, this is what you seek to be. Don't follow the world's definition of womanhood. You follow the Word of God's view of womanhood. Ruth is your example. The Proverbs 31 woman is your example. For the man who is going to work for your security. The man who is going to do right, good by your generations. Is the man who is attracted to this about you. That you are a virtuous woman. And all the church knows it. And you know what happens, young people? When the young woman seeks marriage for the spiritual security of herself and for the spiritual security doctrinally and in life of her generations coming after her, and when the young man seeks a woman of godly repute amongst the people of God, you know what happens? More often than not, these two people find each other. They're both seeking the same thing. Faithfulness to God's covenant. As God has been faithful to them in God's covenant. And since they are both looking for that, if God grants marriage, it's only a matter of time before they both find it in each other. Look for that at Young People's Convention. Go to the Young People's Convention and look for that. Look for that at the Young Adults Retreats. Go to the Young Adults Retreats and look for that. A match made in heaven. But we look past Boaz to Christ too, don't we? Why is Christ willing to be our kinsman redeemer? Because of His selfless character. First of all, yes. But also, because like Boaz, He is seeking a virtuous woman to be His bride. A woman with whom He might be one, have fellowship, and godliness, a church holy, white, and purity. Only here it's a little bit different, isn't it? He's not looking around over all the world to find someone who is virtuous in themselves to take as His bride, but He is looking to make a bride virtuous unto Himself by His own redeeming work. From all eternity, the Father had decreed a match for His Son in heaven, a bride formed according to the counsel of His own will, a bride nonetheless who is totally invirtuous in herself, full of sin and evil, yet a bride whom He must redeem and make virtuous legally and actually by His grace and sacrifice upon the cross. A bride, white, but white only in the wedding dress of His own righteousness imputed to her. Ruth's virtue here comes from this Christ. Boaz's godliness comes from this Christ. The virtue of every godly woman and man comes from Him. He is the source of virtue in His bride. His seeking is a power that accomplishes what He seeks. As Boaz seeks a virtuous bride, one with him in the faith, with whom he can be married until death they do part. Christ seeks a bride with whom he can be one in the life of the covenant of grace for all eternity. And he makes that possible by virtue of his seeking. Because Boaz is a man of character, willing to redeem Ruth, because Boaz seeks a virtuous woman to be his wife, Boaz makes that promise, swears that oath, seals it with the visible sign and seal. And because of those things, Boaz will work ceaselessly until he has Ruth under his wing. When Ruth comes home in the early morning, and Naomi, who probably didn't sleep very much that night, asks Ruth, "How did things go?" Ruth responds by telling her everything Boaz did and said to her. She shows Naomi the great gift of grain, the confirmation of his promise, and so convinced is Naomi that this man is going to provide security for them that she says to Ruth in verse 18, "All right, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." In other words, Ruth, we have sought the right man. He will take care of our security. He will take care of our redemption. He will take care of the obstacle that is in the way. He will provide peace. Sit still now, Ruth, and just wait. You do nothing. He will do everything. Is this not what we need to hear, beloved, as the church, having sought security in the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ? It's as though Naomi speaks for heaven itself to us in the reality. It's as though the voice of God Himself says to the church, who seeks her security from His Christ, "You have sought peace and safety in the right Redeemer. He has promised. He has sealed His promise. Sit still now. Now you do nothing. And you simply watch as He does everything. Don't think that you need to seek security of redemption from your sin yourself any longer. That you have to work your way into that security. Breathe a sigh of relief. The burden is lifted. The responsibility is no longer upon yourself to protect yourself, to shield yourself from the just wrath of God. Stop thinking that you work your way into security by your own efforts. You have sought the true kinsman redeemer. His character is to provide for you, to protect you, to submit to God's word, and to bear eternal wrath for you. You sit, you do nothing." For the one you sought will not rest until he has finished the matter. He will remove the obstacle that stands in the way of covenant communion. He will do what it takes to have you to himself. He will take care of your sin. He has accomplished so much of that redemption already in his cross and resurrection. And now as Lord of heaven and earth, seated at the right hand of God, he will not rest until he has worked all things in this world after the counsel of his own will to come again and take you to himself. Peace. Peace. Be still. He will do it. You wait now. In faithfulness to him, Ruth, as he goes and does his work. And you wait now in faithfulness to him, church, as he finishes his work. You don't go after other lovers in this world. You don't seek security and peace anywhere else. You don't try to find redemption from any other source. You wait. Faithfulness to Him until He brings you wholly to Himself. He will do it. He has said so in His Word. He has confirmed it with sign and seal. You wait and you watch. For your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give Thee thanks for Thy Word that is so rich and full, and for Thy Son Christ, our great Redeemer. We trust Him, we seek Him, and we know that He is all our security and hope. Send Him back at the appointed time, Father, to take us to Thyself fully. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.